Welcome to Drunk on Comics. This is our podcast about comic books, conventions, and all other things nerdy. My name is Derek, and with me today we have Matt is back once again joining us.
Hello!
Matt's got stuff in his mouth again. And his brother Tony. What's going on, Tony?
Hey, not much.
Hey, so today we are going to do a little bit different from our normal. We are going to do kind of a general roundtable bullshit discussion of a lot of things that went on at San Diego Comic-Con. Wanted to just kind of touch base on some things that you guys had heard about. And then at the very end of this show, we are going to talk, since we just got back from seeing The Dark Knight Rises, we're going to talk about it at the end. So we're leaving that for the end because there will be spoilers for that. So that way, if you haven't seen it, you don't want to hear about it. You know, you'll be able to get all the rest of the good info in there. So, Tony, I'm going to flip this right over to you and let you kind of, you know, take the reins on this one.
All right. Well, this San Diego Comic-Con was probably one of the better ones I've had in a while as far as comics. Obviously, the mecca of nerd has turned more from comics and into pop culture, TV shows. We don't really want to get into some of those. But off the bat, probably the one that hits home is Sandman Zero. Neil Gaiman is taking over the reins again to tell kind of a prequel story to the Sandman series. I know, Matt, you've read Sandman.
Yeah, what I hear about this is it's the new comic is supposed to answer the question of what exactly was Morpheus doing that when he got summoned accidentally by the magician in the first volume of Sandman. Why did he have the ruby, the bag of sand, and the helmet? All of the artifacts of his office with him at the time. What was he doing, and why did he answer the call to begin with? So this prequel story is supposed to be a very limited run, but it's going to probably tell one little story arc, and Neil Gaiman knows his characters better than anyone's. He made that book amazing, and highly looking forward to it when it comes out.
And also to speak on Neil Gaiman, when he's attached to a project, it's amazing. He has written other comic books before, written many books, and for him, I normally don't like prequels. You pretty much should know kind of what has happened before, but he has a good point. How did he get summoned? How did he get captured? And that's something that I can't wait to find out, and I'm truly interested in finding.
Yeah, when it comes to prequel books, a lot of times we get stories that change our understanding of the characters before, or we find that there's events that don't necessarily match up with the continuity, or the events don't really matter in the continuity because we know how it all turns out. For instance, The Watchmen, with this relaunch, doing some of the stories that the characters did before. If you like it, they might be fun stories, but overall, I don't really feel like that'll answer any new questions about who Hood of Justice was and the original Silk Spectre.
Well, and not to mention, see, now that one's a little bit different when you talk, at least I think when you're talking prequels, just because of all the controversy around it.
True.
You know, should they be doing that? You know, should DC be just taking, you know, those characters and say, hey, you know what, we're riding high on all this.
Well, I guess, too, that Alan Moore isn't involved with that project, whereas here, Neil Gaiman, the original creator, is directly involved writing these stories again. So.
Which I think that's a much better thing. In fact, one of the comics, you know, that I will be talking about in our regular comic book podcast is the new Crow that came out. And it, once again, it's a reboot. Now, I believe Obar gets some kind of money on that, and since he's doing at least one variant cover on it, I know that he's got to be. I don't remember if it actually says James Obar is the Crow. I know the old ones did, but you know, with Alan Moore, yeah, that whole thing, yeah, that's actually a topic that we could have for a very extended period of time. But I do really like the fact that Neil Gaiman is actually getting involved in this, because I think that says a lot when you have, you know, a book. I mean, how long ago did Sandman end?
Back in the 90s, yeah. I believe.
Okay, and you guys know a lot more about this than I do, but it actually, to me, is interesting when you have a comic book creator, a writer, that says, you know, I have more stories to tell about these, and there were always things that maybe were floating around in his brain, but he didn't know a good way to do it, and now it's a great way to do that. Plus, for the industry, it's a great thing, too, because any of the trade paperbacks that are out there, I mean, he's going to get paid every time those books are printed and sold.
And as far as trade paperbacks go, you really can't walk into a, shall I say, legitimate bookstore such as a Barnes & Noble or a Walden's Book, and not find graphic novels for the Sandman.
Yeah.
Where it's with the more superhero comic books, you can't stay the same. So if you haven't picked up any of the Sandman, I highly suggest going out and getting them and reading them and looking forward to Neil Gaiman's take here at Sandman Zero, as we'll call it. Otherwise, when it comes out, pick up Sandman Zero, and if you like it, hopefully that'll get you hooked on the series.
Which, honestly, I mean, I've only read literally a small handful. I'm thinking 4, maybe 5 issues of Sandman. Of course, they were spread out, you know, so I had no idea what was going on. You know, they're just books that I'd picked up, you know, in a group of books when I was buying, you know, a small collection, or I was getting them out of the quarter bin, or whatever it may be. So I'm looking forward to this, because maybe this will be a good starting off point for me.
We'll make a believer out of you yet.
There you go.
All right. One of the next things that came out of the con, which me and Matt are fans of, and it looks really, really good, is the new Deadpool game. We don't have much to go on except from the game trailer. We haven't...
Which they have Deadpool's talking voices in his head, which were awesome.
But just a quick note on this, if you can Google Deadpool game trailer, you will not be disappointed.
There are a few of them out there, and they do look pretty cool.
So that's that. Another thing to quick have you guys wet your appetite.
Wipe your ass.
check out the Thomas Jane Punisher that he did. He had made his own fan flick of his Punisher role that he did from 2004. It's something that he just did on a whim, kind of. Doesn't necessarily say Punisher, but it's the Punisher.
And it's called Dirty Laundry, if you want to look it up. It's already got over 1 million hits on YouTube.
Is it possible to put a link on the website?
Yeah, we can put a link on the website to that.
Yeah.
Cool. Go to drunkoncomics.com and we'll have a link on our...
go into the links section.
Yeah. Otherwise, good promotion.
Yeah, otherwise we'll make Tony make a new, you know, fun and frivolous page for whatever reason. Oh, by the way, I just saw something, guys, before we go on too far on the video games, that Ubisoft unveiled a new trailer for Avengers Battle for Earth, and it's billed as the ultimate superhero brawler, which is going to have 20 playable characters. Plot is largely inspired by the Secret Invasion storyline, and that's going to hit stores December 31st.
So, I do like me some Marvel brawlers to get to be full effect of Wolverine. And
does it say what kind of gameplay is it going to be? Like cooperative, such as like the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games?
It doesn't. All it says is that, and it's just something I happened to run across earlier, like right before we started this. So I'll have to do a little research and see, but it'd be kind of interesting if it's going to be, you know, like the old, what was it, X-Men Legends? Is that the, you know, so the button smashers.
Or the old arcade cabinet one.
Yeah.
Well, heading back to the Thomas Jane Punisher video, do check that out. But it made us start to think about the Punisher movies that we have, and we are aware of 3 Punisher movies and 3 different Punishers in each of them. None of them seem to be the last more than one movie. We had the infamous Dolph Lundgren playing in a 1980s Punisher movie.
It had to have been late 80s or incredibly early 90s.
Well, we remember seeing his testicles as he was meditating on the floor.
Yeah,
that's what sticks out most in that.
Yeah, the tube sock hanging in the shadows there just was not...
Second one we had came out in around 2000... We're going to have to get some fact check on this.
Well, facts are for...
Our opinion is it came out during our lifetime, and it has Thomas Jane in it.
That is a fact.
And John Travolta... a really good Punisher. We liked Thomas Jane. I thought he did a fantastic job. But my personal favorite was the Punisher Warzone movie that came out with Ray Stevenson. And I thought that for all the Punishers, he did the best job of saying a lot by not saying very much at all. You can see the tension in his jaw when he's conflicted about going to the family where he's just killed their dad, and how he feels a little tortured because he realized he did something bad. He crossed the line. But he doesn't have to say very much in order to get that across.
So the question is, who would you cast as a Punisher?
Because if we make another Punisher movie, it has to be a new person.
Well, it'll be an all-new reboot.
See, but I like that was one of the things I liked about Warzone 2, is we had a new Punisher, but we didn't feel like we had to go back and relive his origin story. Right. They just mention it in the movie. His family got gunned down. Awesome, let's move on and watch the Punisher kill people in awesome ways.
Well, I don't know who I would want yet for the Punisher himself, but I tell you, I think a great storyline would be what we talked about a couple weeks ago with the Punisher and Punish Her,
mm-hmm.
where you have Sergeant Rachel Cole Alves who comes in. If they're going to bring her in, I'm thinking Christina Hendricks from Firefly fame and... What else is she in that I can't all of a sudden think of?
If Christina Hendricks plays anything, I will go see that.
Yeah.
Particularly, but, you know, isn't the Punisher's origin story a lot like The Bride from Kill Bill?
Gunned down at the wedding?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
there are similarities. I guess there's only so many, you know, if you get gunned down at a wedding,
Yeah.
Okay.
Coincidence. But then again, you know, but she was a Marine, so that's how it's different. She's not a ninja.
That's true.
But I think she'd be a great choice for that. Tony, you got any ideas on who you think would be a good Punisher?
Not really. Like I said, I keep falling back to Thomas Jane. I thought that he did a very well thought out Punisher, but...
Here's my thing. I think what, in my opinion, would work best for most superhero movies, because you already have the draw of the character. And if you've got the draw, I say go with somebody who's much less known, that can make that character much more iconic. Now, rare occasions, you're going to have a Robert Downey Jr., who now it's hard to see him and not go Tony Stark. But when I see Scarlett Johansson, I don't go, oh, hey, Black Widow. I go, nice rack. You know, so that's...
I agree. Picking acting talents over star appeal would be nice if Hollywood would join the bandwagon. However, we know a lot of times the movie's about making some money. And
what? You mean Hollywood wants to profit?
Yeah, something like that.
Silly girls.
Oh. Matthew McConaughey.
Ooh.
Or Ryan Reynolds, because he's in everything.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds does seem to be in everything.
Or at least be rumored to be in everything.
I heard he's rumored to be the Highlander.
I did hear that.
There can be only one, though.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's, unfortunately, there's way too many Ryan Reynolds. I mean, you know, he was Green Lantern, poorly. He was Deadpool in Wolverine Origins. And
poorly? No, he was good Wade Wilson.
He was a good Wade Wilson.
And I think that the movie screwed up Deadpool for him.
This is true.
I still think that out of any Marvel character he could be, Wade Wilson being Deadpool, if they could do it right.
Well, and
see, my problem, though, is he seemed really sedated as Deadpool. He kept talking and talking and talking, but I didn't get that sense of crazy. I just get this sense of, you know, I'm a nervous person who always has to talk in every situation that's going. And they also gave him, like, some superpower that he can just, like, cut bullets in half with his katanas. Not, hey, I've got a hamburger face and a healing factor, and I basically get shot up all the time.
Yeah, and I'm really good with weapons.
Yeah.
You know, and then you add in the fact that they turned him into a Cyclops Wolverine thing.
You know, I've always questioned, adamantium is not supposed to be breakable or bendable. Yet, those swords sticking out of his forearm were at least, you know, 4 feet long, which means when they were retracted and back in his arms, he should have been, like, held out in a crucifix position.
Well, yeah, but what you can't tell is that they're collapsible, like those, like the little flashlight, Chinese yo-yo, or the flashlight lightsabers that we had when we were kids.
The hate for Wolverine Origins knows no bounds.
It was on TV today. And I couldn't put it down because I couldn't walk away from it because it was so bad. The CG on it looks like worse than in Who Framed Roger Rabbit when he pulls the toy gun or the cartoon gun and he's shooting in his hand. Like, I can tell that's, you know, a cartoon. I could tell Wolverine's claws were drawn in with crayons. So.
All right. You know, we're a little off topic, but you know what? This is a special bullshit edition again. We were going to talk about it some, or at least I'd intended on talking about it some last week. Speaking of horrible, horrible movies, and maybe we should just hop on this one for a minute. Horrible superhero movies. Daredevil.
Sin.
What do you mean, sin? That was the biggest steaming pile of cinematic comic book bullshit I've ever seen in my life.
Have you seen Wolverine Origins?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, what about Elektra?
Well, Elektra couldn't have happened.
If it wasn't for
Elektra was the corn in the stool of the Daredevil film. So
I have been debating with myself if it's my fond memory of Daredevil that made it better in my mind, or if it's just my hatred of Ben Affleck that keeps making me bring it down. But I'm still conflicted if my memories are true, because I kind of like the movie.
And here's my biggest... Ben Affleck did ruin it for me. I mean, the dude's a mouth breather. Like, just watch any movie and his mouth is open all the time. Daredevil has heightened senses. I'm pretty sure he's not going to be a mouth breather. Just for that reason alone. So, I don't know. That one pissed me off. Tone, do you have one that you hate?
The Marvel movie that I truly, absolutely, detestfully hate? Fantastic Four: Rise of the Silver Surfer.
See, I probably could agree with you because I own it and I've yet to get all the way through it. I just get bored and I walk away.
Oh, that was a big pile of Galactus shit.
Well, yeah. I wish, but Galactus was just a big ball of gas, and apparently the Silver Surfer at any point during his life could have just said, "Hey Thanos, I'm tired of you. Let me turn my small fraction of the power cosmic against you, and I'll just beat you, you know. Deus Ex Machia at the end."
You mean Galactus?
Is that what I'm going to say?
Thanos.
Oh, I wish it was Thanos.
Yes.
Yeah. That one, I don't really have a whole lot. Although, I will admit that the last Superman movie, or the most recent Superman movie that came out, I literally just went to sleep in the theater. I mean, that one, I woke up and we were with one of our friends, and I'd wake up and go, "I miss anything?" She goes, "They just keep talking." And I'm like, okay. I go back to sleep.
Oh, I got mine. Batman.
And Robin.
Yeah.
Because how do you screw up Batman?
It has Arnold in it with all those really corny cold lines and stuff.
Yeah, well, I think part of the problem was the Bat nipples when they weren't on Batgirl's uniform.
This is true.
You know, if Alicia Silverstone had Bat nipples, I think all could have been forgiven, but...
All right, getting back on to topic.
Or what if she had a twatterang?
Yeah, well, more on some Marvel movies at the end as we talk about some of the movie titles that were announced at the San Diego Comic Con.
This is what happens though, when we have the truly unscripted shows. They just kind
of
flow.
One of the things that has also been coming out from San Diego Comic Con and across the interwebs is the new Marvel Now. We spoke on it... couple weeks ago about what this new Marvel Now will be. Is it a
Marvel Now
reboot, a retelling? But one of the things that they're talking about is the point one, their starting off point. And they have posters coming around with Samuel Jackson, Nick Fury, Nick Fury Jr., however you want to call him. But he seems to be the man in charge of this new Marvel Now initiative. And the posters have these files that he's throwing out, or deck of cards.
Or playing cards, or whatever they are, I don't know.
Yep.
And is it a new team roster? Are they potential threats? As they're heroes, they're probably not potential threats, but are they new comic books that are worth following?
My guess is what they probably are, is that they, and I'll have to look into the previews to see if there's anything in there about them yet, but my guess is that those are going to be individual characters that they are trying to, because... Who did we have in there? Who are the three that they showed so far that we...
They've shown what we believe to be Cable. We can't tell because Cable's now got an eye patch.
Now, according to an article I saw on Examiner, it is Cable.
Okay, we got Cable, and then we have Nova.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm still, I still want to know how we got out of the Cancerverse. I'm still waiting.
Well, see, though, that's Richard Rider Nova, where there was the Nova that came to warn them of... The Phoenix Force.
Yes. And according to this article, it's Sam Washington Nova.
Ah, so Richard Rider is still... See, I didn't think that they had answered that question yet, how Star-Lord and Richard Rider Nova got out of the Cancerverse. But cool, that'd be in a whole other topic.
And then they also have just debuted Ant-Man as well.
Ant-Man. But now they're not saying... They've not said yet whether or not it is the current Eric O'Grady Ant-Man who is in Secret Avengers, or if it is the original Hank Pym, mm-hmm. Who right now he is in Avengers Academy, and he's Giant Man. Yeah, so
he was calling himself Wasp for a little while there, too, right?
No, that's his wife.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but no, he came back in Mighty Avengers when he led the team of Mighty Avengers during the Dark Reign. He was going by the name of Wasp.
You know, I think he was Yellow Jacket for a time, and that was way back in the day.
Yeah.
He's
had more name changes and costume changes than
Spider-Man has had movies.
Punisher has had lead actors.
There you go. Booyah!
So, he's had more name changes than Matt Murdock's had dead girlfriends.
Ooh, too soon.
That's my whole thing with Matt Murdock, man.
Poor man.
Poor sap.
He's never seen what their faces look like.
I'm just leaving that one.
So with these new 0.1 posters coming out, we're left with a little speculation as to what they mean. But for whatever it is, the Marvel Now campaign.
I'd prefer Marvel somewhat later on down the road.
I think, again, it goes, they're calling 0.1 like that's this big revelation that they have, and they're trying to market it now, but they've been doing these 0.1s for at least a year now.
At least.
Trying to get people hooked in and saying, hey, this is a good starting off. We just finished a story arc. Jump in at 0.1. And again, frustrates me in the whole numbering system.
Well, no, because the 0.1s, the great thing with the 0.1 is that they are a one-shot, you know, issue. So you're introduced to the characters and you can go after, you know, so 13.1, we're starting a new story arc at 14, but here's a quick little overview of who these characters are. If you like what's going on here, this is a good example of the types of things that we do.
Yeah, but as a collector, I feel like I still need to buy them and put them in my collection, even though if that's all they are is a recap of who these characters are. I know, because I've been collecting them.
No, it's not that.
Since they renumbered them at number one again.
And I don't mean just, you know, an introduction to the characters, but it's a great way for somebody to get a one single story where they can be introduced to the characters for the first time. They aren't going to give their origins and all
that's
that
true.
Again. But it just gives you a good chance where you go, okay, look, here's a single issue. Read it. If you like it, then you know. If not, you're not going to be confused by this or that. I do have a problem with the, you know, with the numbering system. But, you know, I guess I don't know how else you would do it to try and tell people this is a great... Because if it's just a one-shot story out there, some people are going to go, well, what's the point in buying this? Because
I think, though, it's still a lot better numbering system than Dewey Decimal. I don't know why we still use that. And for all us young listeners who have their iPads and Kindles and everything, go to your local library. You'll understand what that means.
Don't go to the local library, hop on their computer, and Google what the Dewey Decimal System is.
All right.
Well, some big news from the Marvel camp was movie titles that came out. We're going to kind of run down the list and kind of speculate on what that could possibly mean. Obviously, the ones that the movie that they're making right now is Iron Man 3, which we have some inclination of what that's going to be about. But we're going to start off with the title Captain America Winter Soldier.
I think it has to do with the Winter Soldier.
Or
it might be wintertime.
With soldiers.
Or it...
Maybe it's about Napoleon Bonaparte's tragic invasion of Russia.
Wow, I need to drink more today.
Here, have another.
Yeah, cheers. You know, I never really got on the Winter Soldier kick. I understood it. I thought it was a neat idea. But I never really read enough of it to, like, go, You know, I thought it was kind of cool, but once again, as we've already stated and everybody knows, nobody's dead in comics forever. Mm-hmm. You know, you just get to come back as Winter Soldier.
Well, I think, though, this is a great second chapter to who Captain America is in the new world. Because obviously, the first Captain America movie was really awesome, but it was a period piece of back in...
Mm-hmm. An origin story for Steve Rogers. I think one of the things I really liked about the movie that isn't in the original... comic mythology is that Bucky Barnes was his friend beforehand. And Bucky Barnes was a tough soldier and was holding his own. He wasn't the kid sidekick that Captain America gets because he was a favorite of the camp over there. But he was actually a soldier and was really good. And there's a great scene in the Captain America film that when Steve comes over there and rescues Bucky, that Bucky's just kind of like, dude, you know, you got bigger and better and awesome. And in kind of a way, maybe there was some jealousy there. Maybe Bucky wasn't all, you know, didn't like him being so much tougher and stronger than it was because it took away what superiority has felt. So maybe they can play off that in resurrecting him as the Winter Soldier.
Well, and I did like the fact that you know, he was, you know, he was a normal guy, whereas the original comic book hero, hey, let's take a 13-year-old kid to war.
Oh, jeez.
You know, like that doesn't have enough Sandusky, you know, written all over it. You know, come on, we'll be bunkmates. It's fine. You know, I'm a grown man. It's cold out here.
Don't worry. I brought my shield as protection.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, so obviously that in itself, the title says what this movie is going to be about. And I think that going off of how Captain America, what an awesome film it was, introducing him to the Marvel movie universe, I think bringing Bucky back will be an even bigger impact for him, better storytelling, and altogether, you know, this is just speculation, but I think it'll make for a good...
I'll be very interested to see, actually with all these movies, post-Avengers, how they incorporate the individual's hero's involvement in S.H.I.E.L.D. and the larger picture as to, like, why they don't call him backup, right? I hope it's not just a hokey, hey, Thor's off on vacation, so he can't come help me, or this is just something I gotta do alone. Like, we don't need those loner stories, but I hope that they at least mention why, you know, and how these stories integrate into the larger movie universe that they've created. Because they've done a really good job at doing it so far.
Yeah, and even in the comic book world, that's something that I've always wondered, which I was very happy to see. Little side note, because I'm not going to be talking about this book this week, but the brand new Daredevil that came out this past week, I think was number 15. He's in trouble, and he's like, you know what? He goes, screw it. He goes, I tried escaping, you know, the last time. I'm calling the Avengers, because he's part of the Avengers. And so guess who came and saved his ass? It was sweet. I looked perfect.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah, the next title we're going to talk about is Thor of the Dark World. Mm. That's the title of it.
I think it might be similar to a Legends of Zelda I played once.
Now Thor of the Dark World, just so you know, on the info that I've got here, is going to be coming out November 8th, 2013.
A November opening?
November opening. Mm. And then the Captain America is April 4th, 2014.
Okay, so who... but Marvel's had really great success with the May, July openings. Are they trying to bump up their timetable, it sounds like, in order to get maybe another Avengers movie out there?
Well,
obviously.
The August 1st, 2014, which we'll talk about release, we'll talk about that next, I think. That's really the one that they're... I think they have to get some stuff out in ahead of time.
But one of the things I want to say, speculating of Thor the Dark World, we know at the end of the Avengers, he took Loki back. That how he got back kind of remains a mystery. I do
know the Tesseract. Yeah, the Tesseract.
That is true.
He brought that with him.
Oh, so what I was gonna say is how he got there. I know that in the end of Thor, they said the worlds were shattered
because the Bifrost was destroyed. The Rainbow Bridge was no more. But they mentioned just in passing that Odin had to get a lot of dark matter in order to send Thor back to Earth and use pretty much all the dark matter that the Asgardians would know about. That's what Loki calculated.
Well, one thing, obviously, that you got to look at each one of these titles in the movies is how it's going to go to their big cash cow, the Avengers.
Yeah.
And how is Thor the Dark World going to reincorporate that? One of the things that was a very good scene, if you rewatch Thor, is the Asgardian weapons vault. When they go to the destroyer armor, there's a couple key pieces that go by really quickly. There's the Tablet of Life. That was a big thing in the Spider-Man series. They had...
Eye of Agamotto.
They had the Orb of Agamotto.
Oh, the Orb, sorry.
They had a couple other things that are off the top of my head, but one of the things that he had was the Infinity Gauntlet.
They showed Sans gems, which means without gems.
And we already know that...
See, Matt's smart.
I thought it was Sands, like at the beach.
It might be Sands.
But one of the things we already know is Thanos, obviously, at the end of the Avengers movie, showed himself as a key player.
It's going to have something to do with death, obviously.
So, is part of this going to have to do with possibly keeping the Infinity Gauntlet from him? Because that is a huge kind of piece that he likes to always wield and have and eventually lose.
Yeah, the Dark World, you know, with the nine worlds, that could be a lot of things. I for one, would find it refreshing if they decided to do this whole Thor sequel with him not returning to Earth at all and only fighting in the nine world or in the outer worlds of Asgard. Maybe he goes to the Dark Elves. Maybe he goes to Hel. Any of them would be pretty awesome if they don't go back to Earth.
Well, and what I'd like to see is if he's training to fight frost giants, that he puts a picture of a frost giant up on the mirror like Rocky and, you know, when he was getting ready to fight Drago.
Yeah, I will break you.
And a training montage. I want the training montage.
So only a Foreigner will come back and do the soundtrack.
Foreigner didn't do the soundtrack for that.
What am I thinking of then?
I have no idea.
Damn.
Because it wasn't... No, we'll discuss.
All right. Soundtrack, we'll edit that out so I don't sound like an idiot.
Oh, no, we're keeping that.
That was Rocky IV, by the way, when he fights the...
Oh, right, your Rocky III was... Rocky III was right. Mr. T.
Moving on.
Guardians of the Galaxy is another title that they had confirmed. We'd speculated that before. Makes me super excited, but there's really not much to go on of who the cast of the Guardians of the Galaxy
is. Here's what has been released, Tony. Now, this movie is slated to hit theaters August 1st, 2014. And in that, the cast of characters are going to be Drax, Groot, Star-Lord, yes, Gamora, and your favorite, Rocket Raccoon.
Yay! Disney will be so happy.
Oh, God.
They're going to sell a lot of plush raccoons, that's for sure.
Now, you guys, I'm guessing, have not seen this, and let me blow this up for you. There's a little piece of concept art here that might get you moist.
That looks pretty sweet.
Now, if you listeners at home want to see, just look up this one here. I found on Unleash the Fanboy. But if you look up concept art Guardians of the Galaxy movie, I'm sure you'll find it because it was released by Marvel. There's another kind of blurry picture that they had on here too, which isn't all that great. But yeah, I'll go see it, but I just don't...
I think that it's actually going to be a bigger reason for the Avengers movie than you'll think. Because it's going to have more backstory of Thanos.
If it's got Drax in it, I mean, Drax's sole purpose of being created was to destroy Thanos. And Gamora herself was trained by Thanos. So, I mean, there's a lot of Thanos connections here.
Yeah, I'm interested in... You know I'm a Marvel fanboy, so I'll eventually see all of them. But I don't know if I'm going to go see that in the theater. I might just wait for it to come out.
You know, if I know anything about superhero movies, is that they're full of special effects. And so sometimes getting it in the big screen at the theater is the best way to go. Just saying.
Moving on to the next title, Iron Man 3.
Yep.
Is Iron Man 3.
It's Robert Downey Jr. Will be playing himself. And... I'm sure the Pepper Potts romance will still be in full swing. So those of you who hate that can groan about it and complain. But, you know, Hollywood's formula always includes a love interest. And unfortunately, that's what we got out of it.
Well, we do know that War Machine is going to be a part of it.
Fantastic.
And that the Mandarin is going to be a bad guy.
Well, actually, what I heard... is that the Mandarin may be more of a criminal organization than just one individual bad guy.
Well,
Have they confirmed that the Mandarin is going to be a person?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because what I heard, and it's been a while, but that the Mandarin was going to be more of a criminal organization. There was going to be one head of it.
Well, if you remember back to the first Iron Man, the terrorist group that took him out were called the Ten Rings.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I didn't catch that. I didn't catch that the first time either, but then the second time I was like, that's cool. I appreciated that.
Yeah.
They're called the Ten Rings.
Yeah. Now, We do have another movie in here, which at least Tony, I think you've got one on here that they Marvel's been working on some test footage, which they did show, and that is Ant-Man. So once again, Ant-Man, you know, which
I'm sure this Ant-Man will be Hank Pym.
I would assume it is as well.
And my biggest bet, and this is what I've been telling people since Avengers came out and I found out that Thanos was going to be slated to be the villain for the second one, is I have a high suspicion that in order to defeat Thanos, they'll have to create Ultron. And in order to do that, you need to introduce Hank Pym early enough, get through his origins, and allow us to understand why he creates Ultron.
Well, that or Ant-Man just gets really small, goes inside of... What are you doing?
I'm doing nothing.
I'm hearing something in someone's phone somewhere.
Drink another beer.
I think with Ant-Man, you know, maybe what they're going to do is they're just going to make Ant-Man get really tiny, crawl up Thanos' nose, and go inside and just create, you know, a brain hemorrhage.
See, but Thanos is smart enough and would have detected that as soon as it gone up his nose, and probably have, like, little Thanos antibodies that would kick out Ant-Man.
Okay.
One thing that I wanted to go back, because pretty much that's it of Ant-Man, though. I mean, Ant-Man. The only reason
I'm sure why Wasp will take Wasp will make an introduction. I'm not even sure who one of Ant-Man's big solo villains would be.
I don't think
I've always felt him as part of the Avengers.
Footman. Stepping on Ant-Man.
Termite Man.
Because the magnifying glass.
Ortho. He'll fight a guy called Ortho.
Alright, I just wanted to go back to Iron Man 3 for a sec. I did look it up. Sir Ben Kingsley is playing the Mandarin.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Good choice. So he is playing straight up the Mandarin. Now, what does that necessarily... how far into it? Will he have all 10 of his rings? Will
it be Celestial Magic?
Part of, you know, the head organization, as you said?
It wouldn't surprise me if those rings are a technology-based thing for these movies.
See, but in the comics, they were Celestial technology.
Well, they could be Asgardian technology now.
This is true. Or maybe we get a little hint of the Celestials in here.
Well, and let's see. When is when's Iron Man 3 come? May 3rd, 2013 is when Iron Man's coming out. So I was going to say...
Yeah, another big release.
It could be Rocket Raccoon dropped, you know, a galactic turd, and that's where they came from. But that's a year away, so that won't
So happen. Definitely looking forward to the movie. What I'm not looking forward to is the new Iron Man armor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As he said in the first movie, when it's all gold, isn't that a bit Austin? Ah, I screwed up.
Ostentatious?
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, Derek, you're smarter than Matt.
Well,
he normally just can speak clearly.
Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, that picture we saw originally, I'm like it looks like a shrimp, or it looks like, what else did I say?
A lobster.
Yeah. And now the more I'm looking at it, the coloring on it reminds me of some of the aliens in District 9.
Mm. Yeah. It does have a lot more gold.
No, yellow.
Yeah, sorry, it is yellow. It wasn't yellow. Shiny gold.
Yeah.
I don't know. Obviously, he's going to make some kind of upgrades to it and stuff. Will he end up getting something like the Extremis?
Well, and it's possible that that's not metal anymore. That, you know,
he had to come up with an organic,
like a plastic type thing. So maybe he's going to fight Magneto.
Ooh, I doubt that they'll just throw Magneto.
Well, they can't because X-Men properties are still owned by Fox.
I know. Curse
so.
You.
Yeah, Disney, you get on that shit and buy up all your movie rights back so we can have really cool movies.
You'll make your money back, I promise.
Yeah, yes. And then some.
Still going movie topics. The new Batman movie just came out, and already rumors of a Batman reboot. Not even going to speculate going into that, but really, guys, let's give it a rest for a moment.
Well, with Christopher Nolan... definitively saying that he was only going to do these three movies, of course Hollywood immediately begins to think about, hey, what are we going to do next to keep making some money? My only hope is that if they're going to reboot it, just skip past the origin story. We know he's a billionaire. He's got access to awesome technology.
He fell down a cave as a kid.
Hey, spoilers, guys.
Sorry. No, we're just talking... We're not talking about the new one yet.
Bruce Wayne's Batman? God, now nobody's going to go see it.
But jerks. Along with that reboot speculative, also rumor mill is going around of a new Fantastic Four reboot, which, thank God, I will look forward to that over the last piece of crap that they just made.
If Dr. Doom does not have an Eastern European accent, I will still hate you.
Do you know who owns the rights to Fantastic Four?
I believe Paramount does.
Paramount? Okay, yes. So they need to buy that back.
Well, but Paramount also did the Iron Man movies, so...
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay, well then, all right, well then those should be good to do eventual crossovers.
I do know, though, that... who is it? Captain America.
Steve Rogers?
No,
Chris Evans. Oh, yeah. Chris Evans, yes. Chris Evans.
Oh, yeah. As
Johnny Storm.
I had heard that when he was first approached for Captain America that he was reluctant to take the gig because if they were going to make another... He didn't want to do it if they were going to do another Fantastic Four movie.
He didn't want to be that, just sell an actor. But I think he did a phenomenal job as Steve Rogers, and I see him as that part.
He didn't want to be Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, he didn't want to be the new Ryan Reynolds. And the studio said, no, don't worry, we're not going to make another Fantastic Four movie.
I would just hope that he decides not to do the Human Torch anymore, because I think he did a really good job with Captain America.
You know, for as much as I like him as Steve Rogers, and I saw the Johnny Storm, where I see him being best for any, at least Marvel character, I should say, I'd see him being the perfect Bobby Drake, Iceman.
Yeah. So you could be, you know what, Chris Evans, you have my permission to play Iceman in the future.
Yes, you can take on a couple more roles in the Marvel Universe.
Just as long as you're beating Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
With that, I think right now is the time to kind of speak on spoiler alert.
Yes. Basically, at this point...
If you haven't seen The Dark Knight Rises, you should go out and see it before listening.
Now, I am going to give a spoiler that's not a spoiler. This is us being helpful to you. And then, at that point, then you're going to want to stop. You do not have to wait through the entire credits, because there is no end cut scene.
Oh, yes.
DC's not as cool as Marvel.
Yeah, so there's the favorable spoiler just to help you out.
Yeah.
But from this point forward, we are going to talk about things that happened in that movie, things that we liked, things that we didn't like. If you haven't seen it and you don't want these spoilers, then pause it right now, go see the movie, and come back. So... we just got back from seeing The Dark Knight Rises. Let's just start out and kind of, I'm going to say right now, I would probably give it a 3.5 out of 5 stars.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some good things. But
I'd give it probably around like a 70-80%. 80% probably.
I'd give Anne Hathaway 5 out of 5.
Oh, I'd give her 5 out of my own 5, yeah. But yeah. she was great. Actually, she was really one of the highlights of the movies for me.
I know a lot of people were concerned with her playing Catwoman, but I have to agree that I think she did it well. She did it kind of believably, and I thought that as a character, she had a lot of motivation in all the choices that she had made.
I think one of the nice things is, because Batman really is an everyday superhero.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously he doesn't have any special powers.
Having more money than the Catholic Church, a.k.a. God, constitutes as a superpower.
As a superpower?
Yeah, more money than God, superpower.
All right, well.
But then again, he loses most of that money here. So, you know what? He is depowered at the end. So,
yeah.
All right, I'll grant you that.
But I think that she really did ground that movie in some realism, mm-hmm. where so many of the other superhero movies, they always try to have, the human counterpart to the superhero that doesn't really work, but I thought she was good.
I love Christopher Nolan's Batman because they do try to ground everything in the real world. Ra's al Ghul, Ra's al Ghul.
Raish,
whatever, however you pronounce it. I don't know. It's the demon's head.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson. He they have the whole the mythology of the pits and stuff like that, which happens to be a prison. In this one, as opposed to actually being like the Lazarus Pits.
Yeah.
But, they took away that supernatural element of him.
Right.
They took away the Scarecrow. What he makes is very much a chemical gas. The science that Batman does. They took away pretty much all the magical stuff, and they tried to ground it in a science fiction, but potentially realistic world.
Right.
The Tumbler, I mean, the Batmobile was an actual vehicle. The Bat Bike was an actual vehicle. Yeah. I'm not so sure that the Bat Jet, or the Bat Plane, or as they call it, the Bat, actually exists and can fly. But it's probably something that, you know, is under development in an R&D of
some. I'm sure it was probably something based off of concept,
yeah,
you know, at one point. But, Tony, what would you rate it before we get too much into...
I still think that I still have to look at it as a trilogy as a whole.
No, just the individual movie, because...
Just this movie. We can talk about the trilogy as a whole. Because
if we want to talk about things as a whole, then you have to include Jar Jar Binks into the Star Wars movies. You know, yeah.
Why didn't Ra's al Ghul just kill Jar Jar Binks as soon as he saw him?
Because Ryan Reynolds was playing Jar Jar Binks.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give it a B minus.
Which is what?
Well, an 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10?
8 out of 10. 4 out of 5. If you would not remember your old grade school, it'd be about 80 to
his grades were never above a C, so it was kind of hard to remember. I'm just checking to see
what you're actually saying, you know, because B minus, you know, you might be rounding it up to a 4.5 out of 5 stars, or is it a 4 out of 5?
It'd be a 4 out of 5.
Okay.
I thought it tried to do too much.
Not the beginning.
At the beginning, it was really slow. The
first half, I literally nodded off at least 3 times. I mean, like, I'm sitting there just watching people talk going, this isn't even interesting to look at. I mean, it was subpar at the beginning.
All right, at the beginning, you know, when Batman, or Bruce Wayne's walking around, he tore out all the cartilage in his knee. I love the fact that he goes to a doctor, and the doctor tells him all the things that's wrong with him. And that's that he's gotten the shit kicked out of him so much being a superhero.
Yeah.
Love that, right? Because he doesn't have those superpowers.
What I love...
After that point, like, he puts on a mechanical brace once, and then for the rest of the movie, you're to believe that his knee problems are fixed.
Well, yeah, but here's the great thing. This story takes place 8 years after Dark Knight.
Okay, 8 years have passed.
And so in this time, it's gotten so bad that he's hobbling around with a cane, but then goes to a doctor... And then later that afternoon, he's got a fantastic leg brace.
Yeah.
Why didn't you get the leg brace 8 years
ago?
Well,
and not only that,
4 years ago, too.
Time did bug me in this, because then when he gets his back broken, yeah, okay, you got 5 months till the nuclear bomb explodes. Cool. But why did you need 5 months? Okay, it makes sense for Batman to recover in time for 5 months to have passed before the bomb explodes, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense of what Gotham City was doing. For 5 whole months?
You
should have had...
Nothing has changed in the situation with Bane holding the city hostage.
Yeah, you should have had some small Bane kind of underground doing stuff, and then finds the bomb once Batman gets better. So you can still have the 5 months of Batman getting better.
But it took Bane longer to find the bomb. Yeah.
Yeah, it was... You know what? I'm going to rescind my
give it a worse score.
It's going to be a 3 out of 5. It's a 60%er for me. Because and strictly based on what I said to you earlier,
yeah.
I will not own this movie, and I highly doubt I'll ever watch it again.
Yeah, I don't think it has much rewatching value. There was a whole lot of angst about Rachel dying in the last one and stuff. But going back to the 8 years passing, in Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns, which is one of the best Batman comics out there.
Yes.
It has been sometimes since Batman, and Batman's gotten older. That's the problem that Batman has, but he's still in good shape and everything.
Yeah.
I want to know, why did this Batman, A, never show his face again? He's a freaking ninja Batman. Like, if he doesn't want the cops to really see him, he could still have patrolled the streets of Gotham, beating up burglars and stuff like that, without the cops aware of his presence. But instead, he's just been sitting in the mansion, you know, kind of eating Oreos and feeling bad for himself.
Well, not even going out. He was totally feeling bad for himself, because as they explained, Bruce Wayne has not gone out. Him not being part of his company lost most of the profits for his company.
I did enjoy the master scheme of the bad guys, including bankrupting Bruce Wayne. That was cool.
Yep.
I appreciated that.
It seemed to me, when I look at this movie, every time I'm sitting here watching it, all I could think of were Rocky movies. And maybe this is what... Because you've got him going bankrupt, Rocky V.
Yeah,
you know?
Yep.
You've got him having to fight the guy that beats his ass
the first time,
breaks
earlier,
it, which is every opponent.
Yeah.
But particularly Mr. T.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got the losing his, you know, losing his girl. Again, that's Rocky V.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but all of these things, I'm just, but Bane and him just like going blow for blow for blow for blow for blow. It's like,
yeah, come on.
Well, not even that, but he didn't even get to beat up Bane at the end.
Well, he did beat him up. He just kept, he like hurt his face mask, and that, of course, sent Bane into such pain.
But he did not well, okay, at that point. But to have the final blow, Catwoman came in on the bat bike and shot him.
Yeah.
How anticlimactic for the main bad guy of the movie.
I don't mind sharing the credit, though, with Catwoman there. That doesn't bug me as much.
But it would have been better if she come in and then they both started kicking his ass.
That's true, too. She could, like, hit him with those high heels
again. But she just came in and go, bam! Yeah. And then he's just blown, and they're like, okay, we'll just leave him here. It's a superhero movie. Don't just leave him there.
That's true.
Yeah, because he will come back.
Which, okay, by the way, huge spoiler. At the end, Batman flies the bomb out over the ocean, and it goes boom.
I totally thought that he would drop the water, drop the bomb in the ocean and really piss off Aquaman.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he already does by all the pollution that he's putting out from all his Wayne Enterprises factories. But, so, let's think about this. Catwoman takes off. Batman takes off. Everybody leaves. Bane just laid there. You think they actually killed him? I mean, come on. It was like,
he was wearing a body armor.
Yeah.
A chest plate. Here's one thing. Going back to the moment where Batman is in the pit,
mm-hmm.
right? Were you guys rooting for Batman to come up with a clever way of getting out of there?
I was rooting for him to get out of there so the movie would get going.
See, it goes back to, you know, he's doubting himself. He has no faith, you know, blah, blah. And then finally, you know, if I don't do it with this rope, the extra pounds that the rope was putting on me is what was slowing me down from jumping this pit. You know what I want to see is Batman walk up, climb up there, go, all right, cool. Got this big piece of rope on me. Fucking pull up the rope, tie something to the edge of it, make a grappling hook, throw it over the top, and be like, I'm fucking Batman, I'm smarter than all of you guys, and climb up over the top.
Yeah, it definitely was stupid. I mean, because,
he had to believe in himself, like it was Rocky.
Yeah. See, now, well, and that's exactly it. You know, it's the whole record. I'm afraid.
I'm not afraid to die.
Yeah. So, overall, there were really good things. One of the things I really liked was I kept looking at Catwoman's
ass.
Everything. But primarily, her mask with the little Catwoman ears. And then you realize partway through when she flips the ears down, they're goggles, and I'm like, all right, that's sweet.
Yeah, that was a good incorporation.
You were able to give her the ears, but make them goggles.
Yeah.
And just flipped up on top of her head, and nice.
Well, and you know, there's also, I think what this movie was also missing was Batman having to go to Arkham Asylum and talk to the Joker and be like, how do I beat this guy who's, you know, and then the Joker, which, you know, I'm glad that they didn't try to incorporate a scene like that without Heath Ledger, but I really felt that this movie needed that incorporation of what had happened before.
There could have been ways to do that with previously unused footage and somebody doing the voice work. But more and just using heavy shadow. I mean, if you look at the original Crow movie, I mean, they still had shooting that they had to go back and do after Brandon Lee died.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Just because of the fact that, okay, we need to fix this. We're going to change some aspects of the story. There are ways to do that, and even more so now.
Mm-hmm.
But
so,
yeah. So you know the one thing too that we should bring up, just out of respect, because we always do like to make a lot of fun here. We're just going to have one very brief moment of silence for the tragedy that did happen in, was it Aurora, Colorado?
Yeah.
Yeah. Senseless violence, you know, and I really hope that those kinds of incidents don't put any more negative impact, let alone on society in general, but also onto this movie, the people that were at the theater, any of that too. So,
yeah. So as we're concluding here in just a couple minutes, let's just for a moment here have a moment of silence for the victims and their families.
All right, thanks, guys. So, but yeah, back to the movie and spoiling things and all that. Alfred was kind of cryy, whiny, a little bit too much for me in this one.
I thought, though, he played a good Alfred. I thought, I got a little teary-eyed at the end when he was sad saying that he failed him, because that is Alfred.
Yeah,
because
he thought that, you know, Bruce Wayne was dead, so, yeah. You know.
You know, there's a really great, the musical's online, it's called Holy Musical Batman. The A-T of bat is actually an at sign.
We've talked about this.
We've talked about it before, and it's really campy. It's some people from a university got together. They made this musical, and it's really a lot of fun. And I highly suggest you you YouTube it. But in that, Alfred is very much. They got Michael Caine Alfred of. Let me tell you about your parents, there, Master Wayne, and back during the war. And I've got all these stories, and he was a little emo there, but. I don't think it was out of character for him.
No.
And you had a fantastic actor doing that part, so yeah, you could take full advantage of that.
Now, the one thing that both Tony and I had said that we'd heard before and completely forgot about was Marion Cotillard, which I hope I'm saying her name right, playing Talia al Ghul, which, very, very nice twist at the end.
Totally forgot about her.
You know, she was great.
Possibly because it was so boring towards the beginning.
Her death looked like a first grader in a play dying. She's just like sitting there talking, and then all of a sudden, head tips over and eyes closed quick.
Here's what I don't understand. She's wearing a seatbelt in the front part of that semi truck, whereas Commissioner Gordon is hanging out in the cargo bay of it.
But also, not only that, she also had to jump over into the driver's seat after the driver was killed.
Yeah.
But that's a huge semi, which means as soon as that driver was dead, if he's not holding down, you know, on the gas pedal or...
It was slowing down. You
know, yeah. How is she still steering
and autopilot.
And not having to worry about... Oh, damn you, Bruce Wayne. Your autopilot. Go see it. That one, yeah. I'll leave that spoiler alone. But, you know, if that thing had to shift, she can't hit the clutch... from the other side. So she manages to jump over. Another horrible point in filmmaking is when I'm sitting there, and the policemen that have been trapped underground for 3 months.
Close to 5 months.
Yeah. They all come out, and they're instantly, okay, yep, ready, come on, let's go, we're going to war, we're fighting these.
They've been fed, and they've had water, so I can understand that physically they're not as...
Right.
You know.
But the worst one has maybe a 2-day... you know, growth of facial hair, and all of them have very nicely trimmed and cut hair.
Yeah.
So, did they happen to get trapped underground with a barber?
Yeah. Well, and also, you know, they kind of show that Gordon-Levitt's character, Blake, he was going to a manhole, and it looked like he was going to pull some people out of the manhole. And so it just makes me think, wait, any of the manholes in the city sewer system... they could have gotten out of?
Yeah. But then they caught him. I thought quite funny. They just dropped the grenade down in it, and he's like, oh, shit. My bad.
Sorry, guys. Yeah.
He doesn't even, like, shed a tear.
I think one of the best surprising moments was when the Scarecrow made an appearance again.
Yes.
He has been in all three of them now. And
his appearance was great, you know, yeah. as the judge or magistrate of the Bane City or whatever you want to call it.
That does make me think that the Joker would have been sitting in that position had he been around, too.
Very likely could have. Yeah. Very likely could have.
Although a Joker-Batman team-up would have been totally unexpected.
Yeah. And actually, I could see that, Joker being pissed.
Yeah.
Because now what's he going to do?
Yeah.
You know.
You're taking away all my fun.
I think overall we can rate this, you know, worse than the first couple, than Wolverine Origins on the scale of shittiness.
This is much better than, I don't know if I put it on par with Daredevil.
It's close. It's close. Well, Daredevil at least had a faster pace to it. That's true. Don't go to this movie if you're sleepy. You know, just
or the midnight showing.
Yeah, or if you want true enjoyment, but
a little harsh. But yeah, I do feel that they tripped on the finish line here.
Yeah, I mean there were just so many things that I just didn't care for.
Now, Joss Whedon had directed it.
if Joss Whedon would have directed it.
Alfred would have died. Lucius would have died. Last minute, he would have been flooded in the tanks with him.
Yeah.
The water would come up and have been like, shit, Lucian died.
Yeah. Oh, what would be great is if Morgan Fox goes up to the, you know.
Morgan Freeman.
Or Morgan Freeman goes up. Yeah, Lucius Fox, Morgan. Yeah. Morgan Freeman goes up to a little porthole and Bruce Wayne's like going, no, Lucius! And he puts his hand on the thing and it says, not Robin's boat. random Lost reference.
So overall, there. Not the greatest movie. Glad I went and saw it. I'm sure it's still going to make a ton of movie or I need to have another beer.
Yeah. It won't make as much money as The Avengers.
No, because it's just not that good.
And if you are disappointed in it, just realize there's already rumors flying of the Batman reboot. So
yeah.
You got that to look forward to.
Couple very quick points. Please, if you guys want to find us, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us online, drunkoncomics.com, which you probably already have if you're listening to this right now. If everything goes well, we'll hopefully be up on iTunes very shortly. Outside of that, artists, if you want to be linked on our page, or anybody, if you've got a comic book store, things like that, you want to be linked on there, let us know. Love to help, spread the word about the industry. You boys got anything else?
No, just say goodbye.
All right. I just want to quick thank our buddy Nick for supplying the brews that we were able to consume today.
Some very tasty beverages. Thank you, Nick.
Delicious. Thank you, Nick.
Yes.
And any listeners out there that would like to sponsor
yeah, free. We'll let you know. We do accept gift cards. So, but all right. Well, say goodbye, Matt.
Goodbye.
Where's the Matt?
Batman.
Yeah. All right, say goodbye, Tony.
I can't beat that.
All right, my name is Derek. On behalf of us all here on Drunk on Comics, keep reading your books, go watch your movies, and we will see you next week.